What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another game cast. This is episode 15.
Dang.
That's awesome. I'm Kenny and I'm with Tess, and we are going to talk about some cool stuff tonight. Before we do that, though, we want to talk a little bit about some things that happened this week. Not a whole lot. Nintendo announced a new Mario, Paper Mario game. And what's crazy about this announcement is that the game comes out in 2 months. Yeah, there was no build-up at all. It was just like, hey, this game's coming out, and it's coming out in 2 months. Now, Nintendo can kind of do that because Nintendo's Nintendo, and it's going to sell, especially during this time. But I wouldn't imagine that, or I could imagine that the reason why it's being announced the way it is versus like a big event or a show or something like that is because of Corona. And so, like, you know what? We got to tell somebody about this, but we can't have the big lead-up like before. So we're not going to say anything until we know it's going to come out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be pushed back or anything. And so I'm like, yeah, that was awesome news. And they dropped this bomb right when, or right before, I should say, Sony's State of Play today. And during that, they showed footage of Ghost of Tsushima. I believe that's how you pronounce it. The game looks great. And honestly, I know the guy at Epic, the CEO, was talking about how, you know, PS5 is everything, but I don't want to hear anything about PS5 right now. If you see this game that they showed on that's coming to the PS4, it's like, do I need a PS5 right now? The game looks amazing. Like, why? Why would we need whatever? I'm not gonna rant. Just go watch it. I get it. Like, it's shiny, it's new. I want to play the new shiny stuff. I just think that it's not gonna be a huge jump visually just yet. It's just not. Because we're so, you know, the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro are pretty freaking powerful as it is, and they're not doing anything innovative outside of I mean, there's some things they're doing in terms of load times. PS5 has a their architecture with their SDD or SSD is super fast. So awesome, right? Tech side stuff. But in terms of like games, right? Like I want games that I can play that I feel like I can't play on any other system but the PS5. And what's going to end up happening is we're going to have a lot of games that drop on a PS4 that's also going to be on a PS5. Because that's how they do these transitions. And so to me, that says, hey, this could have been on the PS4. Like, we didn't need that. And then also the fact that the state we're in, I don't know if people are like super amped about buying a new console right now. But that's just me. That's just me. So,
No, it's not just you. It's not. I'm with you on that. That's why, even when we first talked about the controller, I said the same thing. I was just like, really? Controller? What's the
yes.
PS5 do? Is it in like 5D? Does it take you to another dimension? Does it put you through a wormhole? Does it take you to Saturn in a different universe, like a parallel universe to Saturn? I just want to know.
Yeah, like and you know, Sony is the way they're like not showing stuff. I feel like they're gonna show like a USB cable, and then they're gonna show like a charger or something. They're not gonna show the whole system, you know, for a while. And it's like, I kind of understand Sony's in the lead right now, so they don't have to show anything. But at the same time, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, you gotta sell me this. And, you know, granted, I know it's a big deal that it's kind of a big deal that Epic is like, you know, this is awesome. But they're talking about the Unreal Engine 5. For people who don't know, Unreal Engine 4, the current one, does everything from like, you know, your biggest blockbuster, whatever type game, all the way to Fortnite. And Fortnite is on everything. It's on mobile phones. They have like the best engine in the world in terms of gaming. And it's so freaking flexible that you can stretch it and pull it and, you know, make a small game or a big game, whatever the case may be. So showing the Unreal Engine 5 like tech demo for the PS5 is not saying much because they always look amazing. Like, the stuff that you can do with their engine is stupid great. But that doesn't say anything about the PS5 itself. I'm pretty sure the Xbox Series S will have tech that looks just as great if they're using Unreal Engine, because that's how good it is. So, Sony, I need you to do a little bit more. Especially right now, considering, like, here's an example. I wanted a what is it? The Quest. It's a virtual reality headset. The Quest Go. It's around, I want to say around $300 to $400 based on the size that you get, the storage or whatever. And I was like, this would be an awesome thing because you don't need a super strong computer to use it. It's there's no a bunch there's not a, like a ton of wires that kind of like, keep you stuck in one location. You can actually move around safely, that don't go anywhere because you could kill yourself. But I'm saying, like, for a virtual reality headset or whatever, the price is reasonable and it's rather cool. And then Corona hit and I'm like, I can't be just buying this. Like, that's not, you know what I'm saying? And that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse in terms of necessity, right? Because, like, I write for games or write about games. So I will be getting the new consoles eventually. I kind of have to. And so what I'm trying to say is, like, if I didn't want this for fun, I didn't want to, I just have the extra money. Now the corona hits and I'm like, I can't do that. Then you have to kind of sell me on this because it's not a question of whether I will get these consoles. It's a question of when. Will I go of Xbox console before yours, like I did this past generation? It depends on you at this point and your price point, because I'm not flocking to the store right now. It's just not happening. So
Right, yes.
I need you to show me some more. I need you to show me some more, Sony.
Give us something, Sony. Give us something.
Yes. Outside of that, we also got a few announcements. We got a remake or remaster bundle for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yep, that is coming out September, and it's being developed by, well, it's still Activision. Activision is publishing it, but it's being developed by, instead of the previous guys, I think they're called Romando. I think they did the like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. It's not going to be developed by them this time. It's actually going to be developed by the guys who made Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. They remastered that, Vicarious Visions, and they're really good at remastering. So I'm kind of looking forward to this one. I hope it's not, they don't lean too much on nostalgia in the sense that that's the only thing that's going to sell it, because that totally didn't help Pro Skater 5. I reviewed that and yeah, you can kind of read it. I would just say it was lackluster. I'll just leave it at that. But I am interested in this, and the fact that it's also two games in one, I think that's pretty cool. Graphically, it looks pretty great. They actually released a announcement trailer. You can find it on the site, and yeah, it looks pretty sweet. I didn't expect that at all. Like, I don't think anyone was asking for that. I'm happy. I'm
Nice.
totally happy for that. But nobody was asking for that. Also, so last week we talked about, we had our verses, and one of them was RoboCop versus Terminator. Funny thing, NetherRealm announced Mortal Kombat 11 is getting an expansion called Aftermath, and within that is RoboCop. Now, for the people who know, MK11 already had a guest or multiple guest characters that you can download. One of them was Terminator. So now we have RoboCop and Terminator. They get to face off. What's funny even more so is that's not even the first time they've done it in a video game form. So this is pretty cool. I'm excited. And the fact that we were talking about it last week is just, that's just awesome, right?
Yeah, that's cool. We were premonitioning.
Exactly. So some a lot of good gaming stuff, news and whatnot kind of came out this week, to kind of hold you over for a bit. And something to look forward to if you're like me, who's kind of using this time to catch up on some games, or just using games to kind of mellow out, if you will. There's a lot of stuff coming out in the coming weeks. If you can afford it, obviously. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out. There's a lot of sales going on too for digital games. I know Epic right now has a spring sale where just by logging in, you get $10 off whatever game you buy as long as it's over $14.99. So yeah, go check that out if you're cool with that. I know Steam is going to be having a sale soon, but yeah, that's pretty much it on the gaming front. Beyond that though, for this episode, we want to kind of keep our Versus series going. And this time, we're going to be doing Versus films. Now, just to lay the ground rules, it's similar to our Versus fights. This isn't something where we're going to use any type of, you know, scientific methods or, you know, really go in on the director or script for the most part, lighting and all this good stuff. We're just talking about what we liked and didn't like and kind of comparing the two. This isn't anything where, you know, any super deep dive. It's just for fun. Just for fun. We got hours and change, okay? Just for fun. So I don't want anyone to give me the stink eye because I picked a certain film over another. It's just for fun. I know this is going to happen, though. It's going to happen. With any fandom, people are going to be upset. I mean, we could see the recent Star Wars, the anger over the Star Wars films can kind of, you know, paint the picture for you. But the first one we're going to talk about is Parasite versus Get Out. Honestly, I don't care which one of these win. They're both great.
Right.
Like, amazing films.
There is no win here, really.
No, there isn't. So basically what we're going to do is just praise the films. I think that Parasite is pretty sweet in terms of a classism film. And with some biting satire, some comedy elements, and some sad moments. They did it really good in terms of a spectrum of feeling in that film.
Yeah.
Whereas I want to say Get Out is more, it's horror and comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really no, I mean, I know for some people, you know, there's a whole gambit, but for us, it's kind of like, yeah, we, you know how like, and this is horrible, this is stereotypical, but you know how like, you know, the typical black people in the theater, how they're like, don't go in that room, you know, don't. Yeah, that's what Get Out, that's what Get Out was. But in terms of race, right? Like we kind of expected certain things. Certain things didn't rattle us as much, even though the premise is terrifying. Like,
right, because it's real. I'm sticking to it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you see one of your friends acting not themselves, be sure to take a picture. Flash, turn the flash on. And if they scream, "Get out, nigga!" like it's time to go.
It's a wrap.
it's time to go. But I enjoyed both of these films. I think the acting was really really good. I think that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the actors were slept on in terms of when it came to award times. We're not going to get into that because that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But I think they did a good job for the roles they were given. I think the writing was really good. Cinematography was awesome, especially in Parasite.
Yeah.
And everything from like, I guess this is kind of a breakdown, but everything from the colors and what they mean and like how scenes transition to others, like just really good filmmaking for the most part.
Right.
What do you think?
Yes, they were both amazing filmmaking. I know we talked about Parasite before on a different cast, and everything you just said, I agree with. Everything you just said. It was so beautiful. It was just very, very, very well filmed. The different angles, the motion, the slow motion, all those kinds of things were amazing. And Get Out was the same way. Get Out was just very, very, very well done. And first of all, Get Out, I was not expecting. I'll give you this. How about this? Parasite, I didn't know what it was about. And when I asked you one random day we were talking, I said, this isn't the live action version of Parasite, the anime, is it? Because if it is, I want nothing to do with it. And like, no, totally, totally different. I was like, okay, great. Because yeah, I'm not trying to get Rickrolled here. I just felt like that was about to happen to me. I didn't want it. So anyway, even though getting Rickrolled is not really that bad, like sometimes you just want to sing, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you. Anyway, sorry, I digress. So Parasite, I was not expecting. I was not expecting that movie. I was not expecting that plot. I was not expecting that storyline. And of course, it made the title make so much more sense. And Get Out, it was the exact same way. Everybody kept saying, you need to see Get Out. Oh my God, you need to see Get Out. You need to do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, for crying out loud, I got other things to do. Like, I got a job. And then people were like, you got to see Get Out. So when I finally saw Get Out and I rented it, I believe. Yeah, I rented it. I was done. First of all, my boss, my old boss, who's white, mind you, says to me, he was like, "You haven't seen Get Out, sister?" And I was like, "No, that's just how he talks." I mean, that's how he talks. So anyway, I'm just saying it in his voice. He's like, "You haven't seen Get Out, sister?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't." He's like, and his eyebrows just went up. He's like, "Yo, you gotta see Get Out." And I was like, "Okay, for crying out loud, you're the 816th person." He was like, "Girl, I'm just saying this to you. Like, you need to, like," he's trying to tell me. He's like, "I'm the only cool white dude you can hang out with. You can't hang out with these other people. They're not to be trusted." I was like, what the hell? He's like, "I'm cool. My wife is black, you know." So it's like, I felt like that's what he was trying to tell me, and I wasn't catching it. He's just like, "Go see this movie." So when I saw Get Out, I was leveled. Like, I'm serious. Like, I was leveled to the ground. It was so, the plot, everything about it. The plot was obviously the biggest part for me. Like, it just killed me. And I was like, oh my effing Jesus, this is out of control insane.
Right.
So that it took me further than the plot of Parasite, because even the plot of Parasite is something that I feel like I've experienced before. So really what drove Parasite home for me was the twists. It was more of the twists, like
Yeah.
the extra people living in the house, the like that part was a twist for me. Otherwise, the whole like parasitically infecting yourself into another person's life is something I've experienced in other movies or other anime or something like that. It's not 100% new to me, but it was very well done, and the cinematography is really what took it over the edge, and the callousness of the individuals, the callousness of the parasites, I would say,
Right.
because they had no I don't want to say remorse like towards the end, but there was no remorse while they were doing what they were doing. They had no concern. It was almost equal disconcern for the rich people who have no concern for poor people, but it was almost equal,
Yeah.
and it was just like, wow.
It's this weird like circle that they kept putting themselves in, where one could say like because of things that you've done, this is kind of the you've kind of birthed these people who are desperate to do certain things. But then on the flip side, the discontent or the way they see you, the rich people in a negative light, is kind of based on the actions that you take to kind of one up. And so there's this weird circle that kind of spirals. But even then, it's like there's such a divide in how they see one another, and they're all people, and it's really interesting. I don't want to, say too much, but
Right, we
it,
don't want to
there's
ruin
there's
it.
yeah, there's some interesting things that happen in the film that even going back and noticing, later, I watched it multiple times, and it's like I didn't know that this was a commentary on this and that and all these other things. Like, there's some really interesting things that they're doing in that film. So definitely check that out. And also, if you haven't seen Get Out, you should. Just you should.
Yeah, you're kind of lucky we're not spoiling it for you, because we really could. We have no reasons not to spoil either film just so we can go into depth, but we're not, because we have other versuses to talk about.
Versailles versus C?
Just
Anyways,
say Versailles, I don't know.
The next one. Now, this one is a little different. I guess it's in the same vein in terms of, Parasite and Get Out were so great. These were kind of disappointments, and that's X-Men versus Suicide Squad. Now, I know this isn't the same thing. It's if you think of like two groups of super people or people with amazing talent or whatever the case may be, that are going up against a, villains of sort, both based on one's Marvel, one's DC. So there's some parallels there, even though like one is, I can understand why someone wouldn't put these films together. My point of putting them together, though, was the fact that they were kind of let down, and for me, for different reasons. Suicide Squad, sorry, but it had like a bad plot. Like, it was written poorly. Like, they just threw stuff against the wall and whatever stuck. And from Jason Leto, and granted, I know people don't like his version of Joker. I personally didn't get to see enough to even care one way or the other, because he was there and then he wasn't. And I recently the director was talking about how he felt bad because no one's going to be able to see his version,
Ever
because
again.
they had to cut it for the film. I don't know what happened here. How the editing process went, if they just like was, blindfold themselves and then slam their heads into the keyboard. I don't know what happened, but there's a lot of pieces that are like moved around and missing here that kind of ruin certain things for me. Also, I was really disappointed with Will Smith, and Will Smith is good at what he does.
Yeah.
He's very good at being himself. And outside of that, some of his great roles were when he's playing other people like Ali. Outside of that, he just plays himself like most of the time, and it
Yeah.
works. Will Smith is mad charming, so he playing himself works most of the
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I really wanted him to kind of stretch a little bit because he's playing a villain,
Yeah.
and my equivalent would be Denzel Washington in Training Day.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of black people are like, why did he have to be a bad guy to finally win? To finally win. Granted, that wasn't his first win, so shut up. But
Right.
the reason why he had to be a bad guy is because he always plays a cop, or he always plays a good guy. He always plays the same freaking role. Outside of like More Better Blues and a few others, he's basically the same person. Training Day, like, oh, he's okay. He could be kind of a badass. All right, cool. Like that, and even that became like a trope for him, right? Because in American Gangster, he was the same person. I digress. Basically, they play the same person until they don't. And I wanted Will Smith to play someone different.
I get it.
And he couldn't. He just had to be him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of threatened people a little bit more. It was Bad Boys Light, if you will.
Yeah.
And I felt the way. X-Men bothered me because outside of amazing work from Hugh Jackman and I forget his name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Amazing work from Halle Berry, right?
God, no. Whoever wrote that line with Toad and the lightning, you're fired, fam.
You know what happens to a toad when it is struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everybody else. Everything. Where are you from again?
I was leaning in my chair. I was like, oh, she's going to say something witty. She hasn't really spoke this whole movie. I can't wait. And then it was like, what was, I wish I could have paused the film in the theater and just looked around and
In
was
the
like,
theater.
what was that? Who thought that was, anyways, there's some things that I like about both films. The music in Suicide Squad, if you will,
Yeah.
and Harley Quinn at times,
At times.
and X-Men, I like Hugh Jackman and the professor. I forgot the guy's name who plays the professor. I like them. They
Yeah.
did pretty well. And I dig Iceman because he's one of my favorite characters. But for the most part, X-Men was kind of poorly written. Not as bad as Suicide Squad, but
Right.
there's some things that are mad questionable. I will say with X-Men, though, at the very least, the plot, it went from one place to another in a logical order. Like it made sense. Suicide Squad, not so much.
Not so much at all. Suicide Squad had like four different storylines. We didn't know what the purpose was. That's what I'm saying. Like, and when you finally get to the end, we're spoiling this movie for you guys, by the way. But
We don't even care.
we can't talk about it if we can't. But when you get to the end of the movie, or the close to the end of the movie, and you realize that what is her name? Witch something witch? What is
Yeah,
she?
the witch or something.
Whatever she is, it was like, so this is the true villain? Like, because the whole Suicide Squad was doing all kinds of crazy things, and it was like, so you needed a bunch of super villains to kill the super superest villain, who is actually not even of this world or something. And why is she making a machine? That whole part where she's like, I still feel bad for Cara, with Cara Delevingne, right? Whatever her last name is, doesn't matter. I
Yeah.
still feel bad for her situation. Where she's like, they made machines, so I made my own machine. Bitch, what machine? Like, what are you? What? Why? Who is your enemy? For real, for real. Like, I just feel like you. Maybe you got ejected from that, like Prometheus planet. Like, maybe that's really where you're from, and you want to fight them, which is Ridley Scott in a whole different movie. Like, at that point, I was just like, why is she making a giant monster thing I just did not get it. I didn't understand. I still don't understand. I wanted more Jared Leto. I did. I really did want more of him. You're right. I also wanted more of How to Get Away with Murder Woman, Viola Davis, to be shooting people in the head. Because that was one of the most badass parts of the movie. We're waiting for Deadshot to just kill people unapologetically. And we had to wait for Viola Davis to shoot her own people? Come on, man. Come on. She was like, everybody clear this room out. Everybody clear this stuff out. We got to go. They about to find out that we was doing some underhanded CIA, FBI, OPM shit. And then she's like, no. She's like, oh, by the way, I have a loaded gun. Who wants the bullet first? Pa-pow, pa-pow. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody's dead. Deadshot was supposed to be doing that the whole time, but he was just straight fresh princing it up. And it wasn't okay. I wasn't okay. I did not know what was going on. I was extremely confused. What was the other movie we were talking about? Oh, X-Men. That's right. Crap. Garbage. Yeah, I waited my whole life to see that movie. My whole entire existence was based on that. And let me tell you why. Let me explain to you what it means to wait your whole life for a movie. I'm poor. I grew up poor. I'm still poor. Okay. So what I want to say is that I went to college. Okay. Because the movie came out in like 2002, I think, or whatever. It doesn't matter. And I was home. Okay. So I didn't see this movie in the theater because, you know, I didn't do that. And I'm at home. It's being released on cable. Okay. It is being released. It is $4.99 to get on what pay-per-view or whatever. Is it is $4.99, something of which I don't have, but I'm pretty sure that at my whatever part-time job that I saved $7 from, I still had about $4.99 in my bank account, and therefore I had somehow $5 from some Tooth Fairy money in cash that was also somewhere in my presence, and I managed to get probably, I'm telling you, a $2 bill, $1 bill, a half dollar and a bunch of pennies to pay my brother, because my brother was paying the cable bill. It was in his name. And I said, can I rent X-Men? I will pay you $5. And he was like, okay, yeah, sure. If you're going to pay me $5, that's fine. It was a lot coming through. That was a lot of effort. Like, do you understand how many cup of noodle meals that I had to like forego just to be able to watch this movie?
Yeah,
if
man.
You don't understand, then like, you don't know my struggles. And I waited my whole life, my whole effing life, okay? My whole life. I was like 20. Then crap, I'm saying my age again. I was a certain age, and I waited forever to see this movie. And I'm like, yes, it's happening. It's an all-star cast. You want to know why? Because it's Hugh effing Jackman. He's hot. Even though we were like, okay, sure, let's see how this Wolverine thing goes, because he's not really short. And then we were like, okay, let's see how, you know, Patrick Stewart was born to be Professor Xavier. We already knew that. Sir Patrick Stewart is the best.
Yes.
That was decided when we were children, okay? As children, casting specialists. You know this. You know you used to watch cartoons as a kid and be like, yeah, I can't wait till that comes out on a movie. And I know who's gonna play them. Well, you were six when you were doing that. Kids are the best casting specialists, okay? And we cast him well before he even knew he was ever going to be an X-Men. Moving on. Then they decided to do something called James Marsden. And I love me some James Marsden, okay? Always have. But they decided him to be Cyclops. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with it because he's hot, right? But my, like, schoolmates are like, this doesn't make sense. Like, Cyclops is like a big, strong dude. James Marsden's not that tall. And not that big either. Like, yeah, he's fit, but... So we're like, okay. And then Famke as Jean. And now I love Famke because, like, I remember, I think at that time I had watched that movie Love and Sex that she was in. And I love that movie. And I love Famke anyway. She's a great actress. She's really good. But the weird part about that was, like, people are like, is she too old to play Jean Grey? Doesn't matter, right? Don't say those things. Famke's amazing, right? Okay, continue. And then they said Halle Berry was playing Storm. I almost didn't find the $5 just because of that. I was very upset. We were all upset. Everybody was like, it should have been Angela Bassett, but they were like, she ain't light skin. I'm like, makeup? Look up health. Get out of here, people. Halle Berry's not good at action movies. She's just not. She's great playing Queen. She can cry. Alex Haley movies all day. She's the bomb. But, you know, remember what happened in James Bond? You know, like, and it's not that point. Okay, that was actually a decent James Bond movie. Let's move
on. Yeah, she was okay. She was
okay, but she had said how she was trying to do her own stunts and kept failing miserably, so they kept having to bring their stunt double back.
And Storm's like mad dark skin, so I don't know where they were like Halle Berry would be a best fit. She had just won an award. I think it's for what is it?
What, for Monster Ball?
Yes, and I think that's why.
Yeah. That maybe I don't even know. Maybe I don't know, because I don't remember which one filmed first. I really don't. But just the whole point of her playing Storm just didn't make any. I just felt like it was a mistake that could have been a time to find another actress. It just could have, like, you were trying to get an all-star cast, but you already had all-star people. You could have done your due diligence to hold auditions and get a better Storm, because Storm is a badass. She's strong. She's tall. The woman grew up in the streets of, like, Cairo, for crying out loud. She's a G, okay? She's an effing G.
Man, her people thought she was a god before she joined the X-Men.
Yo, like, so not only is she a, like, little G, she a big G. Like, big G. You a gangster and you a god? Like, what is that? She's a gangster god? Well, god, yes. Too, I guess. I mean, it doesn't matter. The point is, how'd you get little-ass Halle Berry in there? Come on, man. That was just moving along. I'm sorry. We're wasting way too much time on that. But the point is, they gave us this cast. They promised us all this action, you know, because they gave us what's-her-face, because we all love her, Rebecca Romijn, as yes. Mystique. And, you know, she was doing freaking somersaults in the air and kicking people. We all wanted to see that. That was a sell. And then the movie came, and we're like, what the hell is this stupid linear shit? There's no backstory. There's no anything. Everything is bad. You freaking ruined Rogue for everyone. Yeah. Everyone. And I'm sorry. It is not that I don't like Anna Paquin, but you honestly hired this British girl to play this Louisiana girl and didn't think that you could have gotten the girl from The Waterboy, because she was the girl from The Craft. She would have killed that. That girl, you know who I'm talking about? I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But that was, like, the biggest argument. Like,
it was rough.
It was really rough. It was just it was a bad movie. The plot was just bad. It just ended up being like Rogue and Magneto have a baby, which, mind you, Ian McKellen is our friend and we love him. But then people were like, why is Ian McKellen playing Magneto? Magneto's not that old. And I was like, maybe they're going to bring the machine where he turns young. I don't know. There were so many choices that were just wrong.
You know, I wouldn't have even mind that if it was just good. Like, yeah, there's been plenty of people who, you know, we didn't think would be a good fit for a role. And then they do it, and you're like, oh, well, right. All right.
You're, you know, like yeah.
What's his name? Heath Ledger for The Joker.
I believed in him. Sorry, I'm number one person. I was never on the non-bandwagon. I knew a lot of people who were on the non-bandwagon, and they turned immediately once they saw him.
I knew he could act, but I was like, the Joker, though?
I knew it.
He did an awesome job. And then, like, Ben Affleck, I was like, he's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to play Batman. And because he played Daredevil, similar, and I'm like, so it was bad. It was really bad.
So bad.
He did really well. I was like, oh, outside of, like, the entire movie not being that great, he did well as Batman. And yeah. So there's times where this could have come together. They could have had a solid script, solid dialogue,
yeah,
and dope special effects, and it would have been great. Would have been great. And it's not even, like, I know that's, like, you think that's asking a lot, but with the talent that you have,
yeah,
you could have done something pretty sweet, where even though it's not reflective of the X-Men that we grew up on, or the comics, or whatever, because right. no movie really is.
No, it's, yeah.
You could have did something that stood on its own to be freaking awesome.
Yep.
You know, and it, you know, like later X-Men films. But anywho, moving on, because we're gonna be here all day.
Yeah.
the next one I wanted to pair up is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids versus Jurassic Park. Now, I know these are different. However, I think for a kid watching these films, they're very similar. in how they capture one's imagination. For me, I always like dinosaurs. I remember when we were living in Germany, we were living in Berlin, and I would go to, my dad would take me to the museums to see, like, they had these really cool dinosaur exhibits where you could, you know, they had the stuff where it was like the bones and everything, and then there was parts where they had animatronics where you can, like, actually control the dinosaurs. They were giant size though, and you could kind of control them, and so, like, I've always been a fan of dinosaurs, and so seeing Jurassic Park, and you know, even to this day, they actually still look great. The animatronics that they have in that film,
They're good.
it takes me back. Like, the music score takes me back. The just seeing, like, the park, like, you know, the opening scene when they kind of like fly over, or the scene where, like, they're all walking and they finally see the dinosaurs, and they're kind of like walking towards them, you know, in the opening or whatever. You're like, oh my God, dinosaurs are real, and all this other stuff, like, before the killing and screaming and all that stuff. It was really freaking cool. And the same thing with Sonic and Shrek the Kids, like, to it wasn't in the sense of, like, I'm not a big fan of ants, right? They're not the same as a T-Rex. However, the idea that you're being shrunk into this, like, you know, miniature state where all the normal stuff is huge and everything could kill you, that was also an adventure in and of itself.
Yeah, it was.
It was way more, I realize now that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is a better kid film or a better family film, because Jurassic Park had all sorts of killing. I didn't, because I was going to show it, you know, to our oldest, and I was like, you know what, let me watch this again. And you know, Samuel L. Jackson, he's just an arm at one point, and you know, there's a dude that gets bitten off of the toilet and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's stuff, you know, shit gets real quick, you know. But in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, it's more like, outside of you know, the scorpion killing the ant, you know, their ant friend.
So sad.
Yeah, you know, no one really, that was like a Bambi moment, right?
It
But
wasn't.
no one dies. And for the most part, you know, they have their adventure making it from basically from the yard to their house. And it was really cool to see, like, the special effects and the props and everything. Like, that seemed like a really cool set to be on. And so both of those films captured my imagination in different ways. They both had comedy, and they both had some scary moments. Jurassic Park, way more so.
Jurassic Park scared me. I actually had nightmares about it for a really long time. I actually used to have kind of dinosaur nightmares in general, so I do believe at some point in my existence in this universe, I lived during dinosaur times. I was probably a stegosaurus and I got eaten. I'm pretty sure that that's actually what happened. But yeah, so I used to think that the dinosaurs were going to come out of my chimney because the chimney is just a very dark place. It's a very dark place. And it's right in the middle of that kind of a happy place, the living room, you know, where our TV is and everything. And, you know, sometimes we would eat there and watch TV, but we watched a lot of Disney movies there. And unfortunately, that area kind of got scarred for a while because I thought that raptors were going to come out of the fireplace. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just it scarred me for a while. I mean, I'll never forget the imagery that I truly, truly did believe that there would be like two to three raptors coming out of the fireplace. I don't know why I didn't think they were gonna come from somewhere else, but yeah, there. So yes, Jurassic Park scarred me, but then I always remember Jeff Goldblum because I love him and he eases my heart. Moving on, and Sam Neill as well. So moving on. But then, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is funny you even mention it because it actually came on about a week and a half ago or something. It was on TV.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my God, I love this effing movie. And so I just let it play because it was so, I think it may have been on like Sci-Fi or something, but I just remember letting it play and just like coming out of my room, going back into the living room and watching it. And again, yeah, it would have been an amazing set to be on, especially as a kid, because the freaking big ass cookie that they were eating, you know, when they found, they
That
left the
was
cookie.
awesome.
It was like, that's so funny. I mean, they were starving the whole day. They were so hungry. You're right. It's such an adventure. And it's always like the older siblings looking out for the younger siblings. And it was just so many things. So many things I forgot. Like, I forgot why the kid was mowing the lawn, you know, because he like paid the other kid to do it.
Right.
And the whole thing with the sprinkler and the way those water droplets came down, because it was like boom,
Yeah.
boom.
Like missiles.
Yes. And they weren't, remember like the looks on their face, they're like, run. And you just see these kids just booking it. Oh my God, that's such an old word.
Yeah.
Damn. I gotta see a therapist.
Dude, all these words are coming back. Like it's yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
Great movie choice. Great movie matchup.
So I'm actually while we were talking about that, I wanted to throw a curveball in here. So I added two more verses. One of them, since we had the whole triple threat thing from before, I thought this would be interesting if we did the Sandlot versus Angels in the Outfield versus the Big Green.
Okay.
All of these films are basically kid sports movies, and they're hilarious in their own right. From what they mean to their town with the Big Green and how they never won a soccer match like ever, and they end up going to the finals. They had they had the it's kind of cliche now, but back then it wasn't necessarily cliche where they had they had a girl on the team and they had the Hispanic kid was really really dope and they had the really fat kid who was the goalie. I think that's like in every
Yeah,
yeah,
there's
even
always
the Sandlot.
one fat kid.
Actually, I think the Sandlot and the Big Green are the same act. I gotta check on that. Anywho, so and then the Sandlot is a what's dope about the Sandlot is that it's a baseball film that isn't necessarily a baseball film. And what I mean by that is it's there are certain like when you have a sports movie and it's outside of like a very few, they're usually fixated on the sport itself so much that there's no character development, there's no the plot is kind of rigid because you're just focused on the sport. Whereas the Sandlot, it was basically about the kids in that summer.
Yes,
And
summer.
what they eventually become and what baseball means to them. So it's even though the sport is there, it's kind of secondary to the story about these kids. Whereas Angel in the Outfield is a little bit different in the sense that it's all about the sport. And this kid being able to do some amazing things because he has help from, the guy from Back from the Future.
And Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. And, so like I think this is a cool matchup because they all kind of come from the same time, even though they're not necessarily made, they weren't made in the same year. And there's different takes on kind of the same premise, with the Angels being the most out there. But I think out of all three, I think the best for me is The Sandlot because it's such a good script. There's so many quotable, lines from that movie, like, you're killing me, Smalls, right? Like, there's so many good things from that film that it kind of eclipses the others, but the others are fun too.
I didn't see The Big Green, but the other two I did. And the funny thing about Angels in the Outfield is that I didn't see the movie until I was older. Because I remember it coming out in theaters and whatnot and being young, and we didn't really do that when I was growing up. But I didn't end up seeing the movie until I was like, I want to say I was in college. I
Yeah.
didn't even see it as a teenager. I think I saw it. Actually, it may have been after college, but I was definitely an adult. I think I was a grown adult when I finally saw the whole movie. Because, it might come on TV, and then that's when you see those little scenes where where you're like, oh, that person's in the movie. That person's in the movie. But no, like, so I ended up loving that movie. When I saw it, I was like, oh, this was a good movie, because I guess I just didn't really care when I was younger. But The Sandlot, man, we owned that, and that was one of the movies that we used to put on over and over. I'm surprised the VHS is still alive, like it never broke, because
Yeah.
that movie was great. It was great. And we were all in love with Benny because he was just the cutest person in the world, And James Earl Jones was in it. So anything that has James Earl Jones, my parents were already going to be okay with. So it's just a fantastic movie. I like to call it a heart movie because it's, about young boys. They're not even coming of age. They're just boys. They're just young boys doing what young boys do. And it's about summertime. Like, what kid, I shouldn't say what kid, there's a lot of kids, but a lot of kids can relate to that summer. A lot of kids can relate to those feelings that you get in the summer where you're not tied down by homework and school and all that kind of stuff. You get to experience this thing with your friends. You go to the carnivals during the summer. It didn't need to take place in 1950 something or whenever it took place. It was relevant to us in 1990.
Right.
And we all went to, well, I live near a baseball field, but we didn't go to the baseball field often. We kind of just played baseball at our playground in our neighborhood, and I was not great at it, so we don't have to talk about that. But like, kids have gloves and baseballs, and we could go experience that same thing. And there are kids who are sitting there like, I have a stepdad that maybe I don't get along with, or I do get along, like you're trying to build a relationship with a new person type stuff. And you're also trying to fit in, and you want to belong to this group. You want to have something to offer. It's just very, it was so relevant. It had, it doesn't make, it sticks throughout time. It's a cult classic, classic, fantastic movie. And I think gives you a very warm feeling. You know what I mean? It ends warmly. And and then after watching Angels in the Outfield, I got a very warm feeling as well. Kind of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Another curveball I added
No
was,
pun intended.
no pun intended. side note, before I get to that, that reminds me of Rookie of the Year, where in terms of like cool lines, where
Yeah.
the dude broke his arm, and so like he goes to see the doctor, and he accidentally hits him, and the doctor's like, "Funky butt loving," like that was great.
Right. Isn't there a t-shirt with that too? Because You're Killing Me Smalls is on every t-shirt.
Yes, it's awesome. My other curveball is Cool World versus Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Now, everyone should have seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, or at least heard of this film. This is one of those big license or collaborative films before we had, the Marvel, the MCU, right? We have.
Favorite movies. It actually is. Like, if you ever ask me what my favorite movie is, I'll say either Who Framed Roger Rabbit or Zoolander. Moving on.
No, I'm sorry. We had to pause on
We're
that
not gonna unpack that right now.
for a second. We had to. It was a pause moment. Okay.
Super
So,
awkward. Moving on.
but yeah. So it was cool that, you could have Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse and all of their characters in the same world. But then also have one of like in terms of animation, in terms of acting, because the actors, the human actors, had to interact with stuff that wasn't there, and but being able to layer that in such a degree with the animation where it actually looked like Roger Rabbit was grabbing his the detective friend and like putting his head in the water or fighting off other the bad guys, the weasels and all this other stuff, like it looked like they belonged. It didn't look like like Space Jam. And granted, Space Jam looks awesome, but
Yeah.
it doesn't really hold a candle to Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like that's some premium animation, and the plot is pretty awesome in terms of how the toons and the humans interact and why they do the things that they do, and pretty great, and how you could actually kill a toon. Like there's so many things that were clever that were written into the script
Yeah.
that Space Jam has to actually have to. They owe a lot of credit to, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Totally, totally.
Another film that came out, I want to, that came out before that. It came out in 1992, I believe, is a Cool World. Now, Cool World is a film that stars Brad Pitt. He is sucked into this animated world where he's the only human there, and he's kind of trapped in this, this Cool World. I want to say it's a comic book, I believe, or yeah, I believe it's a comic book. But in the world, everyone's animated. And he is a detective, and he's trying to, basically live his life there and eventually make his way out. And a whole bunch of craziness happens in between that. Cool World is very much a adult version or adult-themed, human toon collaborative thing. It was PG-13, but it was extremely suggestive, way more than,
Roger
Roger Rabbit's, playing patty cake. It was way more suggestive than that. It's directed by Ralph Bakshi. Bakshi, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He has a lot of cool animation. He's been known for like Felix the Cat. I think it was no Frizz the Cat. Yeah, Fritz
Okay.
the Cat. Fritz the Cat. And that's also an adult one. We don't have to talk about that. But with He does Wizards. He has a ton of Heavy Traffic, basically adult animation for adults. But this is one where he was kind of like moving towards the PG-13. This is supposed to be like the bigger budget, not family friendly, but as close as family friendly that he ever got, right, for the most part. And it was interesting. It was an interesting premise. And the fact that the characters would jump back and forth between the real world and the comic world, where you would see the, you know, they would, the cartoon characters would, their whole thing was trying to get into the human world. And so they would jump over and kind of become human, but in doing so, it would damage the fabric of their universes. And so it was really interesting. I think that Who Framed Roger Rabbit is better and a better achievement and a better film ultimately, but I think Cool World is pretty solid in being the edgy, exploitative cousin, if you will. Both are pretty awesome. And both have a solid cast beyond Brad Pitt. A lot of the voice work was done by some, you know, known people at the time. And the artwork, I think, for Cool World rivals Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but not it's just not as cohesive as that film in terms of human toon interaction, which is such a weird thing to say.
Yeah, because it just doesn't come out right. It
Yeah.
comes out just very awkward, which in truth really is what Roger Rabbit was. I love that movie. I mean, it came out when you're a kid, so there's no way you're not gonna love it. And then when you watch it again as an adult and you really kind of see what the themes are, it's just an amazing movie. I didn't see Cool World. I'll try to catch it, but I didn't see it. I know of it, but I didn't see it. But Roger Rabbit just says so many things. And even as a kid, of course, when you're a kid, you're gonna watch it and you're gonna be entertained by cartoons. And Roger, he's Roger Rabbit, it's like
Yeah.
you're gonna be entertained and all of the tunes are there. But there were things that really stuck with me as a kid that got to me. What's his Eddie? Eddie was, Eddie Valiant. The one of the things I'll never forget is when they're handcuffed together and Roger can't get the handcuffs off, and they do so many things to try to get the handcuffs off, and then Roger like laughs and then gets out of the handcuff after they've been handcuffed together for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then they both realize they're quiet. They're both quiet when they realize that Roger has slipped out of the handcuffs. And then he just slips his hand back in and he's like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And that causes a whole nother fight. You know
Yes.
what I mean? And then for him to say, I can't do it. I can only do it when it's funny. And it gives you this limitation of cartoons. I just think that the movie was so suggestive in the themes were like there was oppression there,
Yeah.
there's racial themes in there. There's so many things, and you're kind of just like, if you were a kid when you watched it and you don't watch it again as an adult, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, it's a solid film, and
Yeah.
there's a lot of cleverness to the writing and script, and it's just freaking, it's a classic, to be
Yeah.
honest. It's definitely a classic.
Plus, I know the words to the whole movie, and I used to sing. I tried to be Jessica Rabbit for a while. She's not really a good role model
At all.
for girls, but I really wanted to be her for a while, and then, yeah.
I'm surprised we don't see her anymore Halloween-wise. Like that was a popular costume to kind of dress up as her.
Yeah, and some people they don't do it anymore because other people came out, like what's her face from Watchmen.
Oh.
Some other people came out and it was like, oh, I can dress like this. Plus Jessica Rabbit costumes are kind of expensive when you can be a skanky nurse for
Yeah.
$5. Mind you, I've been none of those things. I don't dress up for Halloween. I've always wanted to, but I put too much effort into everything that I do, and at the end, I end up scrapping it because I'm like, it's not good enough. So I have one more to add. Oh, wait, you have another one, right?
I did. Well, actually, I have a crazy list, but the last one I'll pick though is this one is a It's interesting. It's Monster Squad versus the Goonies. Now, a lot of people know about the Goonies. Not too many people know about Monster Squad.
Right.
They're basically similar in the sense that it's a group of kids who have to go and save their town, or in Monster Squad's case, the world. It starts with their town, though, but it's the world. And they're similar in how stuck they are in their time periods. Whereas they both are the Goonies is much better than the Monster Squad, even though I like the Monster Squad more because I'm a horror fan. But the plot for Monster Squad is all over the place. The acting is decent, but the dialogue and stuff, I didn't realize. Like, I went back, I actually bought it not too long ago, and I went back and rewatched it. And as much as I was entertained, I was also like, not repulsed. I think that's a bad word. It was cringy in certain places. There's old insults that we don't say anymore, for instance. Things that were, like homophobic slurs, or just things that we don't say to people in turn to be insults anymore. So there was a lot of that, and that's a mark of the time. But the Goonies, similarly, like the Asian kid in the Goonies, and I can't remember his name. I think it was Gadget or something. Like, him being like all about inventions and all this other stuff. Like, if you look into that a little bit further, there's a lot of stereotypical and even racist stuff in the Goonies that I didn't pick up when I first saw it. So outside of the bad stuff, if we just, put that in a bag and move that over there. Outside of that, there's a lot in terms of, friends getting together or kids grouping together and overcoming like a crazy, crazy odds, right? Like, in Monster Squad's case, they stop Dracula from raising like an army of monsters. They partner up with Frankenstein, and they fight against the Wolfman and the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Like, it's like a universal monsters picture there, but it's the Mummy and all this other stuff. And there's a lot of funny jokes and nods to different horror films in that movie. Whereas the Goonies is more about them saving their town. I want to say that's from being bought up, or they're all poor, and they go looking for this treasure, and this group of criminals is actually trying to find the treasure as well, and that leads to all sorts of wacky things and whatnot. But it turns out well in the end, and it's one of those. It's similar to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in terms of like a group of teenagers kind of overcoming some type of obstacle. And they both sit in an interesting way, or interesting place in my library of film, or just in my memories, because of how cool that concept was. Like, being a kid and going on a grand adventure, like, that's what people kind of, I mean, that's what you do when you're a kid. You make up stuff. Whereas in these films, it actually happened. So that those are two cool films for me.
Yeah, I like the Goonies. I didn't see Monster Squad. I saw the Goonies. I mean, I saw it when I was a little kid, and I remember not remembering anything about it for some reason. Everybody talked about it in school, like we all did, and I was just like, all I remember was, "Hey, you guys!" Like, I don't. Otherwise, I didn't remember anything. I did not know what it was about. Like, ask me what Splash is about, and I can tell you every scene from like beginning to end.
Oh,
But ask what
gosh.
Goonies was about, and I'm like, yeah, what? I was like, why could I not remember anything that happened in the Goonies? Probably because it was a bunch of little boys looking for treasure and I couldn't relate to them. Whereas in Splash,
Yeah.
I just wanted to be a mermaid. So,
That makes sense.
right? So it wasn't again, I was an adult and I was like, oh, the Goonies is on, I don't know, Hulu or Netflix or something. Oh no, I remember how many years ago it was. I think I was still living in my old place. So, yeah, I think it was probably during, furlough time when I was working in for the government. So I was living in Arlington and I was like, yeah. And I remember watching the movie and I was like, God, this is so good. You see Sean Astin as a kid and it's just like, this is so great. This movie is so, this is like, everything is so bad. This is so good. So, yeah, the Goonies. Oh, yeah. So the last thing on the list is now these aren't movies. One is a TV show, one is a movie. It just needs to be said. We don't really need to discuss it, but we can all agree. This is a true versus Lord of the Rings versus Game of Thrones. We already know who wins.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
mic drop. Screw you, Indy, because Sean Astin wins again. I'll never let you down, Mr. Frodo. Ever.
Oh my gosh. I was about ready to throw Frodo in the fire at the end. I was like, are you serious? You gonna do this right now? Sam, kick him in there, please. Like,
yeah, that was all that needed to happen. Look, the ring had to go in there one way or the other, whether someone was wearing it or not. Somebody about to die.
Yeah, like Frodo, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. You choose.
You gotta say it the way he said. No. See here. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Oh, yes. You want to do it the hard way. Oh, he was so inappropriate.
Yes, him, Gollum, everybody would have went, yep. Like, what happened to Fro? Nothing. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, he went west. He journeyed west. We haven't seen him since.
Yeah, he went down south. Yeah, it's real hot, I imagine.
Yeah, I hear they need, like, umbrellas this time of year. It's like a lot of rain, a lot of lava rain.
Yes.
Kind of after volcano down there. It's beaches, though. Really nice black sand beaches.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I hear it's the locals, they're not bad. They're kind of cool. You know, just don't get on their bad side. They'll skin you. But aside from that, they're cool people.
Try to stay away from the trees because there are arachnids that are the size of houses.
Yes.
But otherwise, you know, it's not a bad place to visit in the spring.
Nope, not at all.
You don't want to go back. It's really, really long walk. You know, you got to go through this place. It's called the Lonely Mountain. And typically every time you walk into the Lonely Mountain, you end up with 1 to 2 less people than when you went in with. So if you only go in by yourself, I guarantee you won't come out.
Yeah, and depending on what hill, you know, depending on where you are, if you look over, you know, the next hill or past a certain tree, there'll be tons of bodies, you know?
Yeah.
Where can you get selfies with bodies? Nowhere.
There. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Stay home. Yo, Lord of the Rings, man. Total, like, Lord of the Rings is awesome. The books are, you know, it was good job, Tolkien. I know you never finished the Silmarillion, so a lot of things don't really make sense in the Silmarillion if you've ever read them. If you ever read it, like, especially as you get closer to the end, you know, Chris Tolkien tried to finish the book for his father. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
Right.
It's not. And I don't want to blame Chris Tolkien and be like, oh, you don't have the writing skills of your father. No, it's like your father left only notes, and so you could only do with what you could. But the Silmarillion is Tolkien's Bible, and unfortunately, his Bible is incomplete.
Yeah.
So, the movie is, I'm going to say, I'm just talking about Lord of the Rings. I'm not talking about the Hobbit nonsense that they made, because I don't want to go there. The Lord of the Rings does its best to kind of keep to the actual fabric of the universe, I do believe. And, you know, there's things that are not, you know, actually accurate per the book. But, you know, I'm still trying to understand what happened with the Dark Elves, but we'll never know. Just leave it alone. And Game of Thrones is trash, so.
Yeah. It's
it's trash.
Yep.
We don't need to go. So, one thing that I wanted to discuss, which I would not have known if I hadn't logged into Facebook, and you know, I don't get on Facebook very often. And I don't even remember why I did it. Oh, that's right. I logged into Facebook. I'm sorry. Let me back up. I am automatically logged in because I don't know my password to Facebook. So the day my computer dies is the last day I get on Facebook. I just want everybody to know that. I'll never be on it again because I do not know my password. And I don't even think I can go through the reset process because I probably don't remember any of my questions. So anywho, my dad was messaging me, and I think my phone was trying to charge, so I needed to get on my computer to respond to his message. It's just easier to type on the computer. And then I saw that you tagged me in a post.
I did.
Okay, let's just unpack that quickly. we could talk about that we can dedicate a whole nother boring Nerd Goggle style cast to that. And I just have to say how shocked and appalled I am, because I will always be happy for more Inuyasha, okay? Because it's such a great... Inuyasha is a huge part of my life. It really is. The timing. It's a huge part of my life. It means a lot to me. I did a lot of like creation to Inuyasha, okay? But when I read and looked at the picture of the children that it's about, you know,
Yeah.
being about Inuyasha and Kagome's daughter, and then Seishomaru's twin children, I'm like, okay, now you got me. Because one of them looks just like him and the other one looks like Rin. I mean, she kind of, to be fair, because of the way Rumiko Takahashi draws, she kind of looks like Kikyo and Sango had a baby, which is really just Rin. So they look like Rin's kids, and I am not a part. I'm not one of those people who was championing Rin becoming an adult and her starting a romantic relationship with Seishomaru. I'm not about that life. It really, I'm not. I wish. I really wish that that wasn't the case. Rin was better suited to Kohaku, somebody who's her age, somebody who's a human. And not trying to be, you know, racist here and be like humans and demons can't date. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you already have a human and demon combo. And I think that the biggest what the biggest accomplishment was for Seishomaru to love a human in general. The fact that he was able to love Rin proved that he had gotten over his animosity towards humans. Like it wasn't now let me just correct what I'm saying or explain. Him loving Rin as her being a child did not erase his animosity towards humans. It didn't. However, once you get to the end and you realize that Seishomaru has no problem walking into a human village just to visit Rin, and he's not attempting to kill anybody, and he's not trying to kill his brother or his brother's now wife, even though she calls him brother and he hates it. I'm like, it's obvious that Seishomaru has finally graduated. He is no longer interested in harming humans, and he knows that if he harms humans unnecessarily, even if he were to do that it would really break Rin's heart. She's not going to sit there and go into priestess training just to know that her adoptive older brother person is out there killing humans. I think it's implied that Seishomaru no longer harbors ill will towards a human unless they harbor ill will towards him and protect his family. I mean, and have contempt for his family.
Right.
So it bothers me that they couldn't just continue them in that loving relationship that they had, which was more like father-daughter. Even her growing up and becoming beautiful, they still, what they could have done, this is what I believe, they could have done the type of thing where it's like, I know I love you, I've always had feelings for you, but I won't cross that line. I just won't do it because of our history. And it could have been more like that. It's like I had this whole thing planned out in my head anyway, but I would have appreciated the fact that she grew older and always loved him. She's been in love with him since she was 6 years old, you know?
Right.
And I would have appreciated her even becoming 16 years old or something and being like, I love you, you know. I've done all my priestess training. Now let me go follow you around the world because he's supposed to be trying to build his own kingdom. That's his whole plan. You know, that's what he always wanted to do. And yeah, I'm going to go and be with you for the next Lord knows how many years until I die because she's a human. She's going to die in a certain amount of years. He's
Right.
not. And for him to have done the right thing, which would be, I'm not going to rob you of your human life. Like, I'm not going to do the thing that which would be what he would want in his life, you know, be like, no, I'm not going to take you out of this human village. I'm not going to lead you into danger the way that Kagome did with, well, I mean, that Inuyasha did with Kagome. You know, I'm not going to go down the same path in which my father had to protect the woman he loved and she died. I mean, well, she didn't die, but he died protecting her so that she could raise his child fatherless. I would love to have seen a type of Seishomaru that would have been like, I'm not going to do it the same way that they did. Let live a human life and like I'll continue to watch over you. And I just would have appreciated, I think that would have been a better story, but you know, give the fans what they want. Done. I'm just saying.
They want babies. That's what they want.
He could could have had babies with somebody else, though. There were so many opportunities. You know how many demon women they introduced? I mean, there was the one human woman who fell in love with him in that two-part miniseries thing. And then there was Kagura. And I kind of feel like there's something here, you know, with Kagura. Because, like Kagura always loved Seishomaru, and Seishomaru didn't love Kagura in the same way. He, you know, he had totally other ambitions. But remember when Kagura died, the look on Seish, like the pain in his heart, even when he went to kill Naraku, it showed his feelings towards Kagura, like that she died so needlessly. It's not that he was in love with her. He just failed. She always looked to him for protection and he didn't do it. And so I was like, you could have introduced another situation. I mean, mind you, I already had written one. All she had to do was call me and been like, hey, you know what, Teresa? I really, really want that story that you've been working on for the last 15 years. Can you go ahead and send it to me? And I would have been like, gladly, let me put it on paper. And
I would have been afraid. Like, how did you know I was working on this story?
She would have known. Like, you know, great minds, gamma rays. You know, anyway, that's just how I feel. We can go into it another time. I wasted enough time even. But I had to mention it since it's recent news. Like, yeah. Just the fact that they dropped that little tidbit. By the way, we're continuing the story. I'm like,
it would have been interesting to kind of see them after certain, like because they live forever, see them after a certain period where, like, all the people that they knew were kind of gone.
I know.
And maybe their descendants. So, like we're not together. Like, we didn't have kids, but she had kids with someone else, and now yeah. I'm looking after that particular. So that's an interesting relationship to have now because it's – I couldn't be what she wanted me to be.
Yeah.
But I still kind of want to be around, and so, you know, her grandchildren, I'm kind of in their life, and that's interesting.
And I would have wanted that because there is a movie called Inukami. It's a Japanese movie where, you know, a lot of, you know, Japanese families or whatever have a spirit animal, you know, or not, or like, you know, something that's been passed down for a long time. And so there's this movie called Inukami where it's like, you know, that their family is protected by the dog god. And I'm like, that to me was like a perfect inspiration for what you just said. Like that is something that I had been thinking for a long time. I was like, that could have been great because he always would have kept a duty to that family and then been some sort of protector. And it would have gone into culture. It would have actually fast forwarded into culture that's been passed down for centuries.
Right.
Like, what other reason would it have made any sense to be in the year 2020 or whatever and to believe in a dog god? You know, like, and so I'm just saying, like, especially since the show used to jump from the year, I'm just going to go from the year of birth, but from the year 1995 to the year 1495, since that's when it came out. Like, if you're jumping that period of 500 years, then for relevance's sake, like, the current time never really reflected much except for the tree and the well. And then that one time when Hojo brought that, the thing with Kagome's name on it because he tried to marry Kagome in the past. And that's really it. And so I'm just saying, like, I always imagined that there would be some sort of ties in the future. Like, Kagome would go into, you know, her normal time period and she would see things that would pass back, that would make sense in the past. Like, you know how they were sitting there that whole time trying to fight off Naraku or whatever, and she would go back home. I wish that something would happen in her own timeline where she's like, oh, I guarantee you we're going to beat Naraku because the world still effing exists. Can you think? You know what I mean?
The world, yeah, totally,
still exists. So I'm pretty sure that we beat him. Just don't know how. You know, just some. And you don't need to do that because Inuyasha's not that type of anime. It never, like, it was. And it's not that type of comic. It's not. It's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that. It's more heartfelt and adventurous than something that's thought-provoking. But if you're going to come out with a sequel that's just about their kids, like, you got to give me more than Sesshomaru and Rin's kids, and then, you know, Inuyasha and Kagome's kid. Like, I would have preferred something like, anyway, I'm just saying, we go totally, like, left and go in, because I never thought that she was going to end it that way. I thought that she was going to end it with Inuyasha coming to the present day, not Kagome going to the past, because that doesn't make sense for missing persons. It does. Sorry. Because if I was the police or the census, I would have showed up to What's-Her-Face's house and been like, I'm sorry, Mrs. Higurashi, your daughter Kagome has been missing for the last 5 years. Apparently, she went and got married. We just don't know where she is. We think she's dead. Did you bury her in the well or not?
We need answers.
Anywho, that's what I'm saying. There's holes here, and I had a way to fill those holes, but Rumiko was like, yo, I got to finish this joint so I can move on to my next project. Anyway, Takahashi Sensei, she's the best. Cycle.
So that was that was episode 15. We hope you enjoyed our version of Versus and took you down memory lane. Hopefully you enjoyed the picks that we had. If we didn't talk about your favorite film, or you thought someone else, another film should have versus like, say, Jurassic Park or whatever, let us know, and we'll definitely check that out. Definitely hit the subscribe button and the bell so you can be notified when all the new content goes up. We actually have a new show that's going to be dropping twice a month, and it's called Uno Night. And it's basically a few of us sitting around with occasional special guests and just having fun and playing Uno. Talking about silly stuff while you watch us play Uno. So that actually went up not too long ago, and we had a good time. And so, you know, we're trying to add more content to keep you busy, to keep you entertained as we kind of get through this whole, you know, situation. Mm-hmm. Outside of, you know, your typical Netflixes and such. So definitely subscribe and, you know, let us know. Thumbs up if you like what you hear. Let us know in the comments what you think. And we will be back next week with another show. Definitely go check out the website, unitedfrontgaming.com, for latest news and all that good stuff. And follow the site on Twitter at @U_F_G. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram now at KennyUFG. And you can follow Tess at MessyTessie_Bakes on Instagram.
You got it. But again, I don't post anything, so there's not much to see there. Anyway, we're so glad you guys could be with us tonight. Thanks for sitting with us for an hour plus. We hope you like our show. We hope to see you next week. Thanks for being here. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay corona-free. First responders, we love you. Essential employees, we love you. Grocery store people, we love you and adore you. Stay safe, everybody. Take care. See you next week. Bye-bye.